Martin Parker, Reel 4.
So on the bike, next day my bike telephoned. It was, the benefactor was still existing. Telephoned me from town somewhere and said, the landlord says he wants you as well to come over. It was a Friday. Thursday. On Friday, Mr. Ijikoski came to the ghetto. He knew about it, told him. I said, go there, please, to Mr. Jaworski. The landlord was Jaworski, Polish name. Speak Mr. Jaworski to take also another few people. My mother-in-law, my brother-in-law, and his wife. He said, I can't go because tomorrow I have to go to the inspector of taxes. He said, if you don't go, what happens? He may give me a fine. I'll pay the fine. Go instead to Mr. Jaworski. As the houses were empty already, we're living above the, all the houses where special arrangements in Warsaw for drying linen under the roof. It was the roofs were going like this. The houses, the roofs like this.
Yes, high roofs.
Somewhere here, there was always some room for drying.
Yes, like an attic room.
You had to go down to the caretaker. He had the key, give him a tip, and get the key. You had to order the key before you started washing linen. So he gave you the key, told you, you have the key back this and this day, then wash. My father always had somebody to do the washing before the war. So we were already hidden on the top. Together with the party. This was this particular attic room had a window in the roof. So people had prepared beds. Some beds you could open and close this way. And without take off the clothes were lying in these beds. They were offered to go to such a place and stay there as well. I decided this was not a huge, you can't survive there. But I was, for the time being, before trying to get out, I was there. And my brother-in-law, and my sister-in-law, and my mother-in-law were lying, both four people. And Mr. Jaworski didn't want to go, so I can't go. Eventually, I forced him to go. So I gave away what I had, some gold things, a watch. Give this away to my wife. I'm not going. This had some influence. He had some heart. And he went. If I agreed, I ring him 4 o'clock. And I came. Next day, 4 o'clock, I couldn't go out because they killed a German soldier in that street nearby. And anybody who was on the street was caught and shot. So I had to come down from the roof into the stairs and come to this house. And the fact it was nobody there by the telephone. And I telephoned him. He said, on your telephone left in the ghetto. He said, you can load 4 wagons, he told me. You know, knew what that means. 4 people to take. My mother-in-law, my brother-in-law, his wife, me. was early April. My mother-in-law and my brother-in-law left on the 3rd of April. It was done this way. A lorry, one of our lorries, came with bread. Not me. A Jewish policeman who was my wife's cousin, he helped us. He bribed German soldier, gendarme soldier, the German Polish policeman, and himself, he didn't take anything. And our Lord came, took my mother-in-law, my sister-in-law, and they went. And this was on the 3rd of April 1943. And on the 8th, 5 days later, it was agreed with Mr. Jacobski, my brother-in-law and I, we couldn't stay anymore there in this place. We went to my wife's cousin. He stayed in his flat. He and his wife, they had a flat there, not far. I shaved myself that day and so I took cut off my beard to show as much as I could. The lorry came. We went through. We couldn't go or outside the ghetto. We're standing at the door. We're standing people to hold them. Polish word and cons. You can't call it. Schwarzobnik, they call it. Schwarzobniki. These are people where if they saw you as a Jew coming out, they force you to give you money or give you away to Germans. You had lowest of the lowest. Whatever you had to give away, then you had nothing. I was most afraid of those people. But since he was on the lorry, it wasn't so easy for them to approach us. So when it came to us, my brother and I left. I gave the gold, put in the lorry, in the lorry there was some place to hide it. I was afraid only the people, the driver of the lorry may say, I take it, the pastor. Could be, if he was lost. They didn't do it. I knew him very well. So he came to the main station in Warsaw, Alea Jerozolimskie, that was this. In the center of the town, near Marshal Kosko Street. I went to the buy a ticket. There were two gendarmes, standing from both sides here at the booking office. Bought a ticket. My heart was, you can imagine my heart was beating. And didn't do anything to ask for anything. I learned to do Polish at the time. I was young. And didn't show any fear, because if you show fear. And we went down to the train. It was the main railway station in Warsaw for passengers, not goods. And we took a train, electric train, which was going to that station where we wanted to go, to Otwock. And we were German soldiers, officers, people from these places. Civilians were sitting in the trains, who were standing not to take anybody's place. And they started talking to Mr. Jacobski and about before crossing the Vistula, Because we were on this side of the river, and the fissures are here 3 times as wide as the Thames. The train stopped. It lasted half an hour. I didn't know, but the Germans were going through the train, make a search. Once it went wrong, whatever it was, I couldn't start standing, not saying a word. I was talking to Mr. Ijikoski. My brother wanted to talk, but his Polish wasn't good. He might kick. He realized what it meant, stopped talking. You Polish more better than me. His face was Polish. All my family, he saw the Professor Oblak, he also looks, doesn't look Jewish at all. Same was my wife, same was my brother-in-law. But it's more, couldn't speak proper English, Polish.
Did you have any papers, any documents?
None whatsoever. Germans, yes. Before leaving the ghetto, I had documents. A lot of German documents, Polish documents, except my Polish passport. I dug a hole in the cellar and put in a jar, glass jar, and buried it. It is there to this moment, to this day, probably. Unless they opened, the house was all destroyed later. I'll tell you what. Later, I'll tell you about it. So, after half an hour, thank God, the train started going. When I arrived in Oswald, Mr. Churchill left, came out. We followed him, I said, from a distance. And I saw our landlord. I realized it was the landlord called Mr. because he joined him, and they went forward in front of us about 100 meters. We went behind them and followed him. I found out it was a house outside Otford. And we followed, and they took us into the house so that the caterer couldn't see. So we went from behind into our entrance. There, this was the place where I was 1.5 years. My wife and my daughter were not.
Was that because you didn't have papers?
I didn't have any papers, and that was like my face.
Yes.
My Polish was very good. I should say, as good as the Polish, but too good for speaking. More delicate Polish. You know, there's good English and there's bad English. I could speak a good Polish, was not so good either. That even my wife was, from time to time, reminded by my landlady. Can you use these expressions in Polish? Because they are down and they become suspicious. Don't use these expressions.
Yes. Did the landlords, did they know that you were all Jewish?
Of course. And they agreed to take from us all 7,500 zloty a month. Was a lot of money, a heck of money then.
Could you afford that? You know, did you have enough money?
Well, it was a calculator, it was 20 grams of gold I had to give. And the gold, I'll tell you later how it could afford it, was a lack. Well, the more the Germans were losing the war, the price of gold went up and up, higher and higher. I found out that the gold was, Mr. Jakowski was selling us the gold, but he didn't sell it. He bought it from us, and he kept it. And it was agreed with Mr. Jakowski, and he kept this agreement to come every fortnight to us. He was my wife's supposedly lover. this was the pretext. So when we went upstairs, and when my wife was downstairs, we couldn't move, as I said, without movement. A spoon fell down. Who is upstairs? And my wife and my daughter were downstairs. You see this? So I had to induce this and family to keep quiet, to sit doing nothing, not to move, not to run. You could have to go to the WC, to the no, you couldn't, could best, but you couldn't. So my wife had to come every few hours upstairs. She was cleaning the house and said, helping in sewing the water. She was a hairdresser. She was a dressmaker. His wife was a good dressmaker. But she couldn't earn all the money because it was too particular about the things that she made. They had to be split and span. And she didn't earn a lot of money because of this. She was famous for giving a good thing. But cost a lot of money and everybody could afford it. But so every month I had to pay $7,500. So every month Mr. Jukowski had part of our gold. So we had part, he had part. And I prepared a little weighing machine with wires, and the box was from shoe.
Sort of shoe polish, was it?
Shoe polish.
Mm-hmm.
And the pieces of wire, I knew how much a coin weighs. This coin, I knew how much it weighs. For this coin, I prepared a weighing. It ran up and down, this type of wire machine. And I put on another piece of metal, I knew it was really how much it was weighing, so many grams. We prepared to do days, weeks to do it. So I could give them, know what I was giving him. Not just a ring, I should say, so many grams. So this is because every 2 weeks he came. And my wife went to the train advance waiting for him. And he came to us upstairs, was sitting with us out all and talking and telling us what was happening in the meantime. Not in the ghetto, he didn't know very much, but he heard what was going on. So he told us very story about the papers wrote and so on. We had to pay ourselves also. But nevertheless, he had about gossip, you know, during the war, there's a lot of gossip. Especially when they have a foreigner that took the country away from the Poles. The Poles hated it. A lot of Poles were caught in the street. One day, I go back a little bit, but I wasn't. When the ghetto didn't exist, I was on the bicycle someday going. And they said they were catching young people. So I went into the house. I found out that they wouldn't do anything but horse were catching. Sent them away to work. They needed people to work in the factories. The soldiers needed ammunition, needed guns, needed bullets, needed everything. It has to, somebody has to do it. So they brought people from Poland, from Netherlands, from other countries, Belgium, and took them there, especially from Poland. Because the Polish people didn't want to go, but they had no option. They closed the gate, in the house, and anybody had to come. So it was not yet the time when they called Jews, but I went home, told the story, And I come back now to the that I was already at Mr. Jigoski. I came to Mr. Jigoski. We didn't agree about the price, but I spoke with his wife. She was the clever of the two. She said she wanted also food for herself and her husband. I said, dear lady, I can't afford it. I can eat dry bread, but you don't want to eat dry bread. You may eat who knows what. Maybe you want some special meals of some kind, which I couldn't afford even before the war. How could I take upon myself such a commitment? Mr. Jigoski also persuaded her, and she gave up. I could have agreed to give them food, what they wanted. They wouldn't eat bread, but they eat. We ate dark bread of the German issue. We didn't exist. The four of us didn't exist. Myself, my mother-in-law, my brother, my sister-in-law didn't exist. So we couldn't get bread. The cards by bread, and whatever the Poles get, a bigger allocation than Jews used to get, but the bread was not eatable, but we had to eat it. For my wife and my daughter and my mother-in-law, my wife had to buy bread, and she had to go to the shops about a kilometer away from us. The town hall, the town walls, a small town. And by not in one shop, but in every shop a little bit. Because without cards to buy at high prices, we said, but for whom to buy? So the poor man had to carry this, all this, whatever she bought. He had to go to every shop, buy something, a little bit here, a little bit. But herself, my daughter, she couldn't get the cards. She had cards if they could, the most bread available. Why she? The rest that she buy in the black market at the prices ruling that particular day. And this was a very drag on us. Took away a lot of money because it was on the black market. And she came home carrying this bag on. And they had a red, her hands were, she couldn't carry it, was not big, a strong person, my wife.
That must have been very worrying for you, you know, being in hiding and knowing that your wife was doing so much.
Very did it, worrying.
Yes, psychologically, I wonder how it affected you.
Very worrying, and every day it was agreed with my wife when she came into the villa, started singing. Then she had a nice voice, you know, and she sang. And when she sang, a sign everything is in order. Then it was agreed with our landlord and his wife that when they come, they three knocks. They had a door, special entrance to our part of the house on the first floor. Three locks. The wife had two knocks. He had three knocks. Then we knew who was coming. Open the door. Otherwise, I would open. So when I heard my wife's voice singing, then she came back. We knew everything was okay.
Well, was there any sort of danger from Germans coming to the house?
Wait a minute, come to this, and first of all asked our landlord, where can I have a shelter? Upstairs. So the house was lower, here, in this corner, there was a room, an opening here. To go inside and sit in a sitting position, not touching with the head the tiles, not that the tiles would fall out. My parents pulled down and said, what happened? And they went to the shelter and tried it. Well, I said that it was all right. And this lasted until one day. The Poles decided one Sunday, All Saints Day, to do a manifestation and sing Polish songs on the cemetery going around with the Polish flag. It was the 1st November. My brother was in town for the Sunday. She had to go to church as well with my landlady from time to time. To go to church to show that she was a Catholic. So that particular day my father was in town. The beds were done already. Only my daughter was ill that particular day. She had some throat trouble. And I was watching like always, sitting at the window and watching. And what do I see? Germans with guns come again, holding the guns like this. They come again to the house.
You saw the Germans.
So the Germans came. I saw Germans coming. I gave a signal. The beds were down. And we went all into that shelter stairs. And there was something to lock the door. And there was a hole in the wood I covered my jacket. And the landlord, he was in the house, ran upstairs. It was cold, always kept cold nearby, pushed the cold to the door, and himself he went somewhere under the roof somewhere, himself. When the Germans came to the house, and the house was empty, no one in the house, he became very suspicious. They opened some drawers downstairs and found the earphones, which before the war, during the war was forbidden. No, all radios had to be given away. All earphones had to be given away. The house became suspicious. Nobody in the house. He was afraid of himself as well, you see. The Germans came, the door to us, there was a door to come to us. The landlord had to knock three times. This was his signal. His wife twice. And then opened the door. When the Germans came in, called somebody who brought an axe and broke the door, broke somebody, the lock and so they came in. I can't imagine my heart was going like this. And they were standing near us. And one soldier went them further to the rooms and I found my daughter in bed. And the Germans didn't be afraid of these, of the getting some illnesses. They called them Seuchen in German. So I said, he spoke Polish. Where are you? Why are you here? My first of all, I'm ill. And who are you? I had a family before the war, my mother. My father was an officer and was disappeared during the war as well. Was an officer there in the Polish army. And with whom are you? With my auntie, who went to church today. He looked under the bed. There was a suitcase. He opened the suitcase and found two pairs of new men's socks put in his pocket. Yeah. Piece of toilet soap, hid in his pocket again. Didn't say a word to anybody. Came to then to the officer and said, everything is over there. And the Germans were standing near this door a long time. For me, it was ages. It must have been probably 2 or 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, not longer. But to me, it was a long, long time. And suddenly, my mother wanted to sneeze. I gave a signal to my sister-in-law, and she called it out like this. If she sneezed, I wouldn't be here. When the Germans went, eventually, they had to go down. It was a little easier for me to breathe easier. But they couldn't go out. Door was open, broken. And people from the neighborhood came upstairs to see that the first an opportunity to see who was in this house. And it's only my daughter, whom they knew, and nobody else. It's a good thing to see. And until we heard my voice strong,